Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Okay, shalom everyone. Please turn with me to the second chapter of the book of Hebrews. We just have been singing Jesus' name above all names. Blessed Redeemer. Wonderful song to sing. And the reason that we can sing that song is because we are aware of the fact that His name is above every name. Like the Apostle Paul, like Shaul said many years ago, that in the name of Jesus, in the name of Yeshua, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Yeshua the Messiah is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is exactly what we get here when we are studying the book of Hebrews. And when we are reading the second chapter of this book, because it is there that the apostle who write to these early Hebrew believers were emphasizing to them that the name of Yeshua, that the person of Yeshua is superior than all. And especially in chapter 2, he is superior than the angels. And we are reading today from verse 10 to the end, and that will be the topic for today, that Yeshua is superior than the angels as men in the fact or for the reason that what he had accomplished for us when he finished the work for us on the cross, on the tree. But in connection to verse 10, I'll just read verse 9, which was the last verse of our last meeting together. And you remember we just sang, Yeshua, Jesus, name above all name. The writer to the Hebrews says, but we see Yeshua, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. That he, this is Yeshua, by the grace of God should taste death for every man, or everything actually. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain, or the leader, or the pioneer of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. We just read it in Psalm 22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted or tested, he is able to aid or to bring help to them that are tested or tempted. Verses 10 to 18 gives us, really, beloved brothers and sisters, the result or the fruit or the outcome of the work of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah on the tree on behalf of mankind, on behalf of the Hebrews to whom the apostle was writing to. Now remember when we had the last verse in our last meeting together. Verse 9 is such a beautiful verse because verse 9 directs us to the men. Remember, chapter 2 of the book of Hebrews deal with the superiority of Yeshua the Messiah over the angels as men. In chapter 1, we have him superior over the angels as God, as in his divine nature. But now he's presenting to them the superiority of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah over the angels as a human being, as a man. And that's why he says, but we see Jesus. By the way, many of them must have never seen him in their life. But they saw him by faith. You see, you and I never seen Yeshua. The only description of Yeshua we have in the scriptures. But we have never seen him with these natural eyes. But we look above by faith and we see him. We see this man, you notice the writer gives to those Hebrews his Hebrew name, Yeshua. We see Yeshua, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. We see him crowned with glory and honor. Now, what he's doing here, beloved, look what he does here. You remember what he does here in these verses? He showed these Hebrew believers that while God gave Adam and Adam's descendants, he gave us to be those that will have authority over all this universe, to have dominion over all this world. But what happened? Because sin came in, we don't see anything yet being put underfoot of mankind. We don't see that we have any dominion over this world at all. We have no dominion over the birds of the air. We don't have any dominion over the fish in the sea. And we don't even have any dominion over the animals of the field. We don't have any dominion, no control. In fact, like we said last time, we cannot even control ourselves. We have lost it. Because sin came in, we have lost dominion. But here comes someone. His name is Yeshua. He was born in Bethlehem. Thou shalt call his name Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sin. And here comes this wonderful man. And he present him in the Gospels. We have the four Gospels. We have started the Gospel of John. God presented the Messiahship of Yeshua, this perfect man, from every aspect, God present him to mankind. And he's showing to us, here is what I'm expecting from men. I've intended that men will live like complete devotion to me, complete desire to please God. But men, because of sin, fail. Sin came in and we did not please the Lord. But here come Yeshua. And Yeshua came, beloved brothers and sisters, to this world. He did not come to live in this world for a long life. He came to die and to pay the penalty for sin. And that's why he says we, the writer and the Hebrews, we see him who was made a little lower than the angel. He became a man. Why did he become a little lower than the angels? For the suffering of death. I don't believe we understand even how much sufferings Yeshua had to suffer here in this world. He suffered from the hands of men. He suffered by the hand of Satan. And ultimately he suffered by the hand of a righteous God. When he was hanging on the cross, remember what we read today, Psalm 22, where he says, my God, why have thou forsaken me? I can understand people forsake me. I can understand Satan attacking me. But God, why have thou, why did you forsake me? And of course he gives an answer in the same psalm. Thou art holy, thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. God is holy. Sin must be judged. There was no man who was able to bear the sin question. No animal could remove the sin. No sacrificial animal could remove the sin of this world. But here come the Lord, as man, bearing our sins in his body on the tree. And God, who forsook him, knew why he forsook him. Because he came to suffer and to die, and then not only to die on the cross and to remain there, but he placed him in a tomb and he raised him and he took him to the pinnacle of the universe, and he is now crowned with honor and with glory. Now, in the next verses, beloved, verses 10 to verse 18, the apostle, the writer, give us three things that happen when the Lord became a man and died for us on the tree. Three consequences, three results he at least present before us here that came about out of the finished work of the Messiah on the tree. Three things he presenting before us, but at the same time, he shows us that the three results that came out of the work of the Messiah could have never happened by angels. Because angels never became men. Sometimes in the past history, angels appeared as men, but they actually never took union, angelhood, with humanity. They never became men. Actually, they appeared as men. Like in Genesis 19, when they went to Sodom and talked with Lot. And like many other appearings of angels in history, but they never took union humanity with angelhood. But here we see God took union humanity with divinity. God and man in one. And so now he's showing them those three results that came out of the finished work of Yeshua, the man, when he died for us on the tree. Three things that he brought about for the benefit of the Hebrews and for the benefits of everyone that will believe on him. The first thing is actually in verses 10, 11, 12, and 13. The first result of the work of Yeshua the Messiah. What happened when he died for us on the tree and paid a penalty there on the tree, the penalty for our sins, for men's sins? He now can bring many sons unto glory. He now can bring many people who can be called the sons, the children of God. You remember what we have in the Gospel of John, John 1, we're going to get to it in our study. As many as receive him, to them he gave the right to be called sons or children of God. So look at the verses. I'm reading again verse 10 to 13. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, In the midst of the congregation will I give praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given unto me. Now let's just quickly follow up these a few beautiful verses in connection with the fact that the work of the Messiah, the work of the man Yeshua, could bring about many sons unto glory. Look what he says in verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. You see, the first thing he's saying is this, in this verse 10. It couldn't be otherwise if Yeshua was going to restore for the Hebrews, to restore for mankind, their relationship with God, which they have lost because of sin. He had to become the captain of their salvation, perfect through sufferings. What does that mean? This word for captain is, in other words, could be used leader or pioneer. What a pioneer does, you know, a pioneer goes before everybody else and he's opening the floor, if you will, opening the gate for others to come later on after him. That's what happened when Yeshua came to this world and died for us on the tree. He opened the door. He became the leader, the pioneer, as it says here, so he can bring many sons unto glory. In other words, he became a man. He finished the work on the tree. He suffered and he paid for the penalties of sin and sins. And then he became our captain of salvation. You know that you and I have a captain. We have a pioneer. We have a leader of our salvation. He is the one that have gone before us. I remember, I don't know if you remember the story that happened years ago, about, I think it is in 1973, if I'm correct. They kidnapped a whole plane, a France plane, where there were many Israeli and Jewish people on that plane. The plane was kidnapped and had been taken by the Palestinian and had been taken all the way to Uganda. And in order for this plane to be brought back and those Hebrews, those Jewish people that had been captured there to be brought back to the land of Israel, somebody had to go and to bring about some special event there. It was one of the greatest missions that Israel have ever done. And I remember I was there, Irene, my wife, and I were in a bus in Jerusalem riding from one area to another area when the news came. Nobody in the world knew that Israel sent a few planes all the way to Uganda. And when the plane landed in Uganda, very late at night, the military, the Israeli army, in a secret way, went into the airport there where all these Jewish people, about 300-400 of them, had been held there by the terrorists. And beloved, you know what happened? The Israeli military burst into this airport and killed all the terrorists there and have taken all these Israelis who were captured there and quickly, immediately brought them into the planes, and then they took them off and they brought them back to Israel. But do you know what happened? The leader of this group of military was the one that got shot and died in this special event. He lost his life. Somebody shot him and killed him. His name was Yonatan, Yoni. In fact, his brother is Netanyahu, Benjamin Netanyahu. But the leader have lost his life in order for others to benefit and be set free. This is just a feeble illustration of what happened when our blessed Lord Jesus came to this world. If he's going to lead a company of people to become sons and daughters of the Father, many sons unto glory, What he had to do, he had to become the captain, the leader, the pioneer of our salvation in order to bring many sons unto glory. And he paid the penalty for us on the tree. He became the captain of our salvation. Do you know that you and I could never bring salvation to ourselves? The benefit that you and I receive from the Lord Jesus becoming a man, God becoming a man in the person of Yeshua, is that he became the captain of our salvation. And it says here that to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now, what does that mean? Wasn't he perfect when he first entered into this world? Why does he use the word to make him perfect? He doesn't mean here that Yeshua was not perfect. He was definitely 100% sinless, without any sin. But this in connection, this word perfect, is in connection with his saviorhood. What does that mean? Is that he knows every problem that you and I have. What would happen if the Lord Jesus the Messiah would come on a Monday morning to this world, will die on a Wednesday, and will go to heaven the next, after 3 days, rising from among the dead on the first day of the week? What would happen? Would he understand what you and I are going through in our life here in this world? Would he understand the sin that the world is under? Would he understand every issue here in this world? He would never understand it the way that he understood it by living here in this world for 33 years. He lived here in this world for 33 years and he became the captain of our salvation. He became perfect through the suffering that he experienced here every day of his life. You know the suffering that you and I may go through today. Suffering that you and I might experience in our life today. He has suffered much more than you and I ever will be able to go through. He suffered the sufferings that are unmeasured. We can never measure the sufferings of the Messiah. That's how he became our leader. He became our leader through suffering and death eventually. And then you notice verse 11 says, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. The one that's sanctifying is the Messiah. The one that are being sanctified are those Hebrews and you and I and anyone and everyone who became a believer in Yeshua. We had to become of one. We have to be united in one purpose and one hope and one glory and one work of the Messiah. And because of his work, we have been united to him. It says here, he that set us apart, and we that have been set apart are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. The Hebrew word is achim. Again, this verse is being taken from Psalm chapter 22. He is not ashamed to call them a brethren. Now, we don't go to him and call him Brother Jesus or Brother Jesus like many we hear in the world today, but he is not ashamed to call us achim, brethren. You see, what is a brother? A brother is a person who has the same parents, the same descendants. We are descendants of the same. We become sons and daughters of the Father. We become, he can call us now brethren. We received the Messiah, we became children of God, and he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And then he's quoting three verses in verses 12 and 13. Remember, he doesn't have the Brit HaChadasha, he doesn't have the New Testament. He has the Tanakh. He has the Old Testament, the Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim. The Torah, it is the five books of Moses. The Nevi'im is the prophet. And the Ketuvim is the writing, the Psalms, and so on. Here's a division of the Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, the law, the prophets, and the writings. And he's quoting one verse from the Psalms, from the writings, and two verses from the prophets. And what does he say? What does he quote? Here the writer says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I sing praise unto thee. Here the apostle, the writer, takes the verse that is found in Psalm 22 that is really in connection with the future of Israel and the restoration of Israel as a nation. And he's taking this and he is applying it to the body of Messiah today. And he says in this verse, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In other words, the Messiah is going to declare the name of God to the brethren, to the rest of the believers, to the people who become children of God. In the midst of the church, the word here, the church in the King James, but it should really be in the midst of the congregation. Betoch hakahal, the kehilah, the congregation, I will give praise unto the Lord. In other words, he is the song leader. He is the one that is leading the congregation to sing the praises unto God the Father. That's what he does. He is in our midst. That's why when we are gathering together and we are even singing together, really, the one who leads the song is not the one who's standing here in the front. The one who leads the song actually is none else but Yeshua the Messiah himself. He leads in singing.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.